40, the national voice of the Bahamas, is 7:57. And of course, with that comes the nearing of the moment, turning point here on AM 1540, the national voice of the Bahamas. At 7:58, be prepared for Turning Point, which comes your way at the top of the hour with your hosts, Paul Miller, Renwick Bowe, and Julian Miller, here on AM 1540, the national voice of the Bahamas. AM 1540, the national voice of the Bahamas. The time now is 8 o'clock. Radio Bahamas, AM 1540, presents to you Turning Point Ministries with your hosts, Julian Miller, Renwick Bowe, and Paul Miller.
They shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Good evening, Bahamaland. Turning Point Ministries is once again on the air with a two-hour commercial-free program. Our discussion tonight is, well, we have an open mic this evening. We have no special topics, so if you have any comments or questions, you could give us a call at 325-5403, 325-5404, 325-5505, or to our listeners in the Family Islands, you can call us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. Our basic discussion tonight is we're going to be discussing the Bible and principles from the Scriptures, and that is what we're going to use tonight basically as our answer to any question that persons could come up, that persons have. So if you have any comments or questions, if you're a regular listener to Turning Point Ministries program that airs on ZNS on Sundays at 2 p.m., you now have an opportunity to ask us questions live and direct. We have in the studio this afternoon Brother Paul Miller, Brother Renwick Bro, and of course your host tonight would be Brother Julian Miller. Once again, those telephone numbers are 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5505, or the toll-free number is 1-242-300-8255. Before we go to the phones and before we start this afternoon, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us a little comment on Turning Point and Turning Point Ministries, a little insight.
Before we do that, let us pray. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, once again, give us an opportunity to speak to your people tonight through Way of Radio. We pray, Father, whatever is said and done here tonight will be done to your name's honor and glory. We pray that whatever is said on both sides, from the callers and also us here in the studio, that will be done to uplift your name, and that at the end of the night we'll be on one accord based on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like Brother Julian said, Turning Point Ministry is a faith-based ministry. It's a self-supporting ministry. It's a ministry that is sponsored by the listeners of the program and also the members here at Turning Point. Over 4 years ago, we started this faith-based ministry, and our mission is not to really start a church, but to share the truth as it is in Jesus Christ based on his words. And for the past 4 years, we've been challenged in certain areas with presenting truths to people. Sometimes they think we are sharing things that are not true, simply because we're not ministers of the gospel like clergymen. You know, we're not ordained ministers. We didn't went to school to take up the gospel like most ministers out in our land today and around the world. But you know, Jesus said something in his word. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give it to you for free. So the gospel is to everybody. As a matter of fact, Jesus said before he left that when the Spirit of God come, he would lead and guide you and us into all truths. So once we study the word prayerfully and carefully, the Lord will give us clear understanding of what he has in his word for us. Because by all means, he wants the best for us, and the guidelines for us and our families always come from the word of God.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to reach us off air, that's if you have comments or questions that you want to, you might not necessarily want to be answered on the air, we have a website that you could send your questions to. That's www.tpministries.org. We at that site, you could also have the email address of Brother Renwick Bowe, Brother Paul Miller, and myself, Brother Julian Miller. Or if you want to email us at direct at tpministries, that's tpministries@hotmail.com. Also, if you want to reach us for any questions, comments, Bible studies, seminars, or anything of that nature, you can give us a call. Our TP ministry is at 322-6273. Now, like we said, this evening is we have an open mic. So what I'm going to ask, I'm going to begin with asking one question to the panelists, I guess we could say. That's Brother Renrick and Brother Paul. And that is, Brother Paul, Brother Renrick, we see a lot of problems going on in the world today. We see there's war in the Middle East. The Guardian just reported, in this morning's Guardian, the fact that sexual crime in the Bahamas is on the increase. We see gay pastors being ordained and all kind of stuff. My question to you this evening is these the last days, or is this the last days?
Yes, indeed it is, Brother Jewel. You know, Jesus said something very important in Matthew chapter 24, which is a chapter every family should be reading at this time and studying prayerfully and carefully. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 24, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And you know, this is the reason why there's crime on every side, in the family, in the home, in the government, in society. It's everywhere. And iniquity simply means if you have been told that you shouldn't do a particular thing and you continue to do that thing, then it becomes iniquity. And 1 Samuel is quite clear that iniquity is like rebellion, and rebellion is as a sign of witchcraft. You see, you don't have to go to the Obel man or the Obel lady to be caught up in witchcraft working. Once you reject the counsel from the word of the Lord, you and I then become witchcraft workers in a way where it's very dangerous. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, when you and I reject the truth, we can receive a delusion from God himself. That's a strong counsel. We would not get this from our family or friends, but from God himself, because the truth has been shared. And we don't want to hear the truth. And because this, God himself, not willingly or not happily, but sadly, he would give you a delusion that you would believe a lie. And how many of us today may be guilty of that? Because once you have a delusion, you won't even know that you're going in the wrong direction.
Amen, Brother Paul. And as a matter of fact, our Lord Jesus, in this same chapter of Matthew 24, confirms exactly what you said. And he gives numerous signs that we are living in the last days. But you know, the very first of those signs, the very first warning that he gives is not about wars and rumors of wars. Yes, he did go on and say that there will be wars and rumors of wars. He did go on and say that there will be pestilence, that there will be earthquakes, there will be famine, all these we are seeing today. But what was the first thing that he said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4? He starts off by saying, take heed that no man deceives you. This is the first sign that he gave about the last days. Right before his coming, he says that take heed that no man deceives you. And what do we see today? We see deception abounding on every corner. We see many people rising up and saying, oh, I'm a prophet of the Lord. Oh, I was sent by Christ. And the Lord sent me to say this to the nation. The Lord sent me to say that to his people. But what are they bringing? Are they bringing the whole gospel? Are they bringing the whole truth? Or are they leading people into deception today? So one of the very first signs that Christ said right before his coming is that deception would be almost at every corner. And truly, truly, this is what we see in the world today.
Brother Brenwick, you brought up a good point, that there are many persons saying that they have the truth. Even if we had Turning Point, say we are presenting the truth in the scriptures. But the question I have for you, this, for both of you this afternoon, how are we to know what the truth is? Because there are many ministers that we hear on the radio with all kind of letters behind their name, degrees and other titles. How are we to know when and if we are following the truth?
Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds of the mouth of God. The sad part about it is we want to live by the bread that is created by God, but we don't want to live by the word of God that was sent from heaven from God. And because of this, men are really being deceived today, like Brother Randrick said. You know, in Isaiah 8:20, the Bible lays down a principle, and it says, through the law and through the testimony, if we, the members of Turning Point, or the members in the Christian society, did not speak according to these two principles, the law of God and the testimony of God, there is no light in them. But the problem is we don't want the law that points out sin. We don't want the testimony from Genesis to Revelation. What we want is the gospel according to other men's opinion. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of our show in July 21st, 2002, we laid down a principle for ourselves. And our jingle went something like this, or our disclaimer went something like this. We said, ladies and gentlemen, there are three things we're going to use to try to share with you the truth as it is in Christ. We're going to use the Bible, church history, and world history. We also went a little bit further. We said ministers of the gospel, also our listening, the people that listen to us out on Radio Land, that if we should say something here week after week on our program on Sundays that is not biblically sound, please call us. But to this day, based on my recollection, there's only one pastor that ever challenged me and Brother Julian based on what we've been sharing. And that challenge was, in Matthew 19, Jesus said the only grounds you have for the divorce is adultery. And he was trying to tell me and Brother Julian that we were out of order. Well, me and Brother Julian spent about 5 hours that night at his place of worship. And he never touched the chapter, Matthew chapter 19. Jesus speaking himself said that if you should put away your wife except it be for fornication, you and her have committed adultery. And that's the only minutes that we know have called and said, you know, we are sharing foolishness. And we also tell him if we are sharing something, please call ZNS. Don't have us here sharing things that are not true. Because ZNS told us also that whatever we share, we must always have our facts built up to present those facts. Because remember, if you say something that's not true, we can be sued. And if we can't cover the suit, then ZNS will take up the slack. And from then to now, we have tried our best to share with the truth as it is in Jesus based on God's word, church history, and world history.
To the law and to the testimony, Brother Paul. Which law and which testimony is Isaiah talking about? Which law and which testimony is the Holy Spirit instructing Isaiah to write those words? What is he talking about?
It is the commandments that are found in the laws, the commandments that are found in Exodus chapter 20. There are just 10 of them. And yesterday I had a conversation with a young man through the corner where I live, and the discussion came up, can we really trust the Bible? And I told him, I said, well, if you can't trust the Bible, I know there's one thing all of us can trust, and that's the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, there's no sin that exists on the face of the earth that the Ten Commandments cannot point out. But the problem is, the Ten Commandments cannot save us. And that's why God instructed holy men of God to write the words of God. So the Bible will give us the instructions how the law can be kept. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8, 3 and 4, hereby we do know. Now let me back up. In Romans 8, 3 and 4, he says these words, that Jesus Christ came, that the law cannot save us. And he said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of his law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the only way it can be kept. And this Ten Commandment law is found in Exodus chapter 20 and also in the book of Deuteronomy. This testimony runs from Genesis to Revelation. You know, there are some people who say that the only book we should deal is the New Testament. Well, if that is true, then all churches in the Bahamas should have taken tithes and offering from their members, because the tithe principle is in the Old Testament. That's where you find in the book of Malachi, where it says, will a man rob God? Yea, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You see, so, and the thing about it is, most ministers who will discard the Old Testament will never discard the principle of paying tithes and offering.
You know, Brother Paul, the same Jesus that walked this earth, the same Jesus that hang on the cross, the same Jesus that the gospel speaks so beautifully and so detailed about, was the same Jesus that walked and that was with the children of Israel back in the Old Testament days. If we turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am, speaking of himself. And when we look back down into the Gospels, John chapter 8 and verse 58, pardon me, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This same Jesus was the author of the Ten Commandment law. The same Ten Commandment law that ministers today are saying that it's done away with, that is buried, that is nailed to the cross, that we don't have to pay any heed or attention to, that is not for us. But they want Jesus. They want Jesus. They tell us about Jesus. Tell us about how much Jesus loves us. But it's this same Jesus that they're discarding in the Ten Commandment law is the same Jesus we want to embrace in other parts of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot discard parts of the scripture because we don't like the way it sounds or because it says something that we don't agree with. We have to take the Bible as the whole. The whole Bible was inspired by God, was given to us by a loving God, and the whole Bible is what we must cherish, what we must take, what we must study as believers, as Christians, and as believers in the Holy God. And this is one of the things that we can use to differentiate the true from the false, the true prophet from a false prophet, the deceiver from those that are preaching truth. Would a true minister of the Lord, would a true prophet of the Lord teach us to disobey the things that are in the Bible? Would teach us to disobey the Ten Commandment law? Would teach us to turn our foot away from the things that Christ gave us by blood and sweat in this Bible? Would he teach us, would a true minister of the gospel teach us to do those things? Absolutely not, ladies and gentlemen. So what we must do is apply the biblical test, like Brother Paul said, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, why is that? Is it because there's 50% light in them?
There's no light. Amen. Absolutely no. As a matter of fact, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he should be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And that word least, if you should do a proper study, means you would not be there at all. He said, but whosoever should do them and teach them should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Do you know there are people in churches, they're teaching people to break the commandments of God? Matter of fact, me and Brother Julian had a few occasions of sitting down with ministers of the gospel. I mean, we've met some ministers who didn't even know where the commandments were found. I mean, and this is true. We asked them where the commandments, and they could not tell us where the commandments. I met a minister the other day who was studying to be a minister of the gospel, and he didn't know what was the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant. But these people are being ordained to be gospel ministers, when the Bible is quite clear that a bishop should be one who is optimal to teach. So how can you teach people the counsel of God if you don't know about the counsel of God? That does not say all the members of Turning Point know everything what the gospel has to offer, but I can assure you, we will tell you that we don't know, and we'll be back. And everyone who we share that principle with, we'll be back to tell you what we believe the text is saying, or the question the question that you asked, we would always go and study it, and we'll go back and tell them what our findings were. Because God is quite clear. If you have questions, he has answers, and they are written in his word and nowhere else.
Ladies and gentlemen, to participate in this conversation, you can call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-55-405. Or if you're in the Family Islands, you can give us a call at area code 242-300-8255, and that's a toll-free call. So please, give us a call. Participate. Help us to understand and answer your questions and comments concerning whatever you have to say about the scriptures this evening. Brother Paul and Brother Henrik, you talk about the scriptures, but my question now is, can the scriptures be believed?
Yes, they can. As a matter of fact, you know, Brother Renwick found a survey today about, I mean, this survey is a serious stuff right here, and I asked if he's sure the survey is right. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if there's ever a time the scriptures can be believed, the time is now. I mean, if you just take Matthew 24 by itself, where Jesus said there'd be nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Right now there's a war in the Middle East, and they're trying all they could to bring peace over there. But the Bible is quite clear, there'll be no peace until the King of Peace. As a matter of fact, there are ministers in the television media that are saying that through the war in the Middle East is going to be Armageddon. Well, I mean, where did they get that from? And see, Armageddon, ladies and gentlemen, is not going to be a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And based on my understanding and research of the scriptures, in the midst of Armageddon, Christ is going to come to take us home to be with him, if we are proven faithful, that is. So the Bible can be trusted. As a matter of fact, if you think it cannot be trusted, I assure you, just spend maybe a year with it and see if your life does not be transformed. I have not known anyone who has studied the Bible diligently and prayerfully to come out the same as they went into studying the scriptures. So I challenge you, if you never studied truth before, don't take no one else's opinion for it. You study it true for yourself. Always ask the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and I assure you what he did for myself, Brother Julian, Brother Renrick, he'll also do for you. And remember, he that began a good work in you will take it all the way to the end. And that's a promise. God never goes back on his word.
Brother Paul, you, myself, Brother Renrick, have never attended theological seminary or some other type of institution or that to learn about the Bible. Why should the Bahamas and those persons listening to us this afternoon, why should they trust what we have to say concerning the scriptures?
Well, Brother Julian, I have to say it once again. The ministers of the gospel listen to us week after week, and they do listen. We have asked them to call us. If you're saying something wrong, please call us. And like I told you just a little moment ago, only one minister ever called us. None called us to let us know that we are sharing lies. I told them, come to ZNS and bring the facts, take us off air. I'd be happy to take the money that we pay week after week and fly all around the world and just have some fun. Because based on the survey, we have 51 ministers saying that they don't believe the fact that Jesus actually was resurrected. We have 60% of the ministers saying that they don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. We have 87% of ministers saying that they don't believe the scriptures are the infallible word of God. But based on what I've studied, it has to be when I look back on my life and where I came from. Because I tell you the truth, when I was in the world, Brother Julian, the only time I used to pray was on Sunday for it not to rain so I could ride my motorbike. I'm running up on the plane to go with my friends so the plane don't crash. Outside of that, I was not praying. So some lady, some gentleman, some father, some mother was praying for me. I could remember my daughter who was with me tonight, begging me to go to church with them. I used to tell her no. My daughter Chantel, she's here in the studio with us tonight, helping us to with this program here and taking your calls, you know. And I used to say, I'm not going to church, I'm going to stay home. And I used to be home Saturday just laying in my bed because I know I should have been out. And when sun set, I'm going to ride motorbike with my friends. And one day, a young lady invited me back to church. And through her inviting me back to church, the Lord shared a sermon with me I'll never forget. The sermon was called Friendly Fire. And from that day, the spark of my life was turned on in a brand new way. And I'm telling you, if the Lord could do it for dirty old me, surely he could do it for you. And he did not do it through reading the magazines, through television. He did it through his word. And he told me, Paul, the time has come for you to get your act together. Or so directly, what happened to Belshazzar will happen to you. You'll be weighed in the balance and found wanting.
If you have any comments or questions, give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or if you're in the Family Islands, you can give us a call toll-free at area code 242-300-8255. Any questions or comments concerning the scriptures this afternoon? This is your time. This is your opportunity to question the members of Turning Point Ministries on what they believe, why they believe, or to show us maybe where we might have been erring. We are open, so let us sit down and discuss the scriptures this evening. We have another hour and 40 minutes. We have until 10 o'clock. So please, give us a call if you have a question or comment.
And they can rebuke us openly. I mean, this is the time. They may embarrass us. Tell us, you know, we've been sharing a bunch of foolishness with the people during the 4 years, and show us from your historical facts or from your Bible that we are out of order. And I assure you, we will repent tonight. You know, because all that matters at the end of time is, whose side are we on? Are we on the Lord's side, or are we on the side of other ministers and other people's opinion?
You know, Brother Paul and Brother Julian, at least Brother Julian, you ask a significant question. Why should the people listen to us? When, you know, when we go through the Old Testament, Paul had a very, very good word for the church in Berea. And what did he say to them? He told them that he wished that all could be like them. Why? Because they didn't take his word for it. They didn't take the word of the apostle for it, but what did they do? They went back and they searched the scriptures diligently for themselves to see if the word that the apostle Paul was bringing to them is truth. And that's what we encourage all of our listeners to do today. Don't take our word for it, ladies and gentlemen. Open the Bibles for yourselves and see whether what we are telling you is truth. If we are in error, then you correct us of our error.
We're going to take our first call this afternoon. Our first call is from Charles in Eleuthera. Yes, Charles. Hello? Hello? Charles?
This is Charles.
Is Charles?
No, this is Mandris.
Go ahead. You can
go ahead. What's your question, ma'am?
My question is from the book of Genesis. I'm going to find out, it says, Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. It says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. I was wondering, who is Cain's wife?
Who was Cain?
I never find out.
The question is, who was Cain's wife?
Yes, it says, and Cain knew his wife.
Okay, I'm going to put it to the our panelists. Brother Paul, you want to take that one on? Who was Cain's wife?
Well, I heard one evangelist said, and I agree, he said, Mrs. Cain, you know. But to be really honest about it, well, what really happened here was, when God made Adam and Eve, he told them to be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah.
So based on what happened there was, Cain actually married his sister. Same thing with all the other rest of the generation. But there came a time in the scripture, we're going to try to find the scripture before we get off air tonight to share with you. God put a stop to that when incest came along. And he said, now the time has come now for you not to be marrying your brother or your sister or your close relative like that. But to start the ball going, God began to let them have sex with their brother or their sister to get the generation flowing. And here we are today. If that is happening today, the Bible calls it's a sin.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share the scripture with you in a little while. We're going to try to find the scripture where incest is not recommended by God anymore.
Okay.
And the same thing is found in the days when God wiped out the earth out by flood, when Noah and his daughters started the generation family all again. I mean, God did not approve of that because they actually got their father drunk in order to do that. And that's how the generation got started again. So here we are. If we do a generation, if we go back in time, all of us will go back into Adam and Eve, where Adam was the first man that God created, and Eve was the second. And that's where we all came from.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Brother Paul, we have a question from a gentleman, Charles, in Eleuthera, and he wants to know what adultery is. What is adultery, Brother Renwin?
What is adultery?
Yeah.
Well, adultery could be adultery could be physically and spiritually. Take for instance, do you know Jesus was tempted to commit adultery? Well, how was that? You remember the Bible says Christ was married to his church. So, when he was tempted by Satan, if he had sinned, he would have committed spiritual adultery. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. But adultery simply means a breaking of the seventh commandment. Whereby I say, thou shalt not commit adultery. You could even commit adultery by looking at a lady. Because remember, Jesus says, if you look after a woman that lusts after your heart, you've committed adultery. Adultery and fornication, it's the same words, are interchangeable. They are the same. A lot of people try to put them in different categories, but they are actually the same word. Once you've committed adultery, you've also committed fornication. Those two words, I did a study on that, and those two words remain the same, and they're unchangeable. And anytime you and I do it, whether physically or spiritually, we are breaking the commandment that says, thou should not commit adultery.
We have some other questions from some of the callers. They don't want to stay online, but they gave us some callers. They call in, and the question is, What are your thoughts on the fourth commandment? That's the first question. Could you answer that? What are your thoughts on the fourth commandment?
What are my thoughts on the fourth commandment? Well, to be honest with you, this fourth commandment, which is in Exodus chapter 20, begin at verse 8 to 11, which starts with the word remember, is going to cause plenty of our brothers and sisters to be lost. I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, if you do a study of Revelation chapter 14, you will discover in Revelation chapter 14, beginning at verse 6, running through to verse 12, there are two groups of people worshiping in Revelation chapter 14. One group is worshiping the Creator, where they say they're worshiping the one who created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. And one group is worshiping the beast and his image. Well, this beast and image is responsible for changing their worship from Saturday to Sunday. And we've been sharing that now, going into like our third year, because the first year we shared the principle how you can live a victorious life, and coming into our second year, we began to show the principle how the day of worship got changed from Saturday to Sunday. And I remember that Friday when we came to record our program, I shared with Zedna, because I didn't want to share something I would have been whole accountable for. And I told him I was going to read some historical facts from the Catholic Church, how they said that they changed their worship from Saturday to Sunday. And I asked him if I was permitted to read that stuff. And they said, once you're sure that this stuff is printed by the Catholic Church, and once you're sure that this is not a recall information, and once you're sure this is not put up by some guy who was drunk or something like that, you can go ahead and you can read it. Well, from that day to this day, the record still remains the same. No one said that we told a lie on the Catholic Church. And today, it's because of the Catholic Church, we have Sunday worship and no one else. And we've even asked ministers to do their research, that if it's not so, please let us know. But this fourth commandment is just as important as the others. There are 10 of them, and James chapter 2 says if you break one, you've broken all of them. So the 10th commandment isn't like on cloud 9, and thou shalt not commit adultery on cloud 1. They are even. Like if you were to put it on a level, they are all level. But it's just that the fourth one is overlooked by most of our brothers and sisters in the Christian world. But the problem is, they may be ignorant of the fact. And the good news is, if they are ignorant, God has winked, according to Acts. And because he has winked at that stuff, if they should die breaking the Sabbath, ignorantly, well, God will not hold them accountable. But once the truth has been shared, once the light has come across your pathway and you remain there, you are in danger of the judgment. That's the best way I can put it.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we have a little time this evening, right, brothers?
Little.
All right. So I think we can spare a little time just to read this fourth commandment in the hearing of our listeners. And it says, Exodus chapter 20, and it begins with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed. What did he do? He blessed the Sabbath day. Which day is that? The seventh day. And hallowed it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the day that the Lord says that he blessed. I challenge any minister listening tonight to go through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and find for me the text where the Lord unblessed the Sabbath day. That's number one. Or number two, where another day was blessed and instructed for man to hallow and reverence and rest on that day. That's the challenge. Any minister in the sound of our voice tonight, you show me from the Bible where the Lord retracted the blessing on the Sabbath day and blessed another day and instructed man to hallow it. That's the challenge to our ministers tonight. Now, for our listeners that are not ministers, it is important that we understand the significance of the Sabbath day. When we look at the Ten Commandments as a whole, the first three commandments, they deal with our relationship directly to the Lord. The first commandment says that He is the Lord our God, and we are to have no other God before Him, no other God, that we shouldn't bow down to any other gods, that He is a jealous God. The other commandments, they deal with our relationship to our fellow man. The Sabbath commandment, that fourth commandment, sits directly in the middle, and it joins the relationship between man and between God, because in worshiping and resting and hallowing the Sabbath day as the Lord has instructed us to do, we honor Him. And in doing that, you know, and also in honoring Him, in resting and worshiping on the Sabbath day, we bind and forge that relationship with our fellow man. And this is the importance and the significance of the Sabbath day. The only commandment that God told us to remember is the one today that ministers have the audacity to tell people that they can go ahead and forget, that it is done away with. Well, I'm waiting tonight. We have an hour and a half tonight, and I'm waiting for the first minister to call in and prove to us where this Sabbath commandment was done away with, where the Lord said that this day was no longer blessed, that we no longer need to hallow it and keep it holy. I'm waiting tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Read and study the scriptures for yourselves. And the next time you come face to face with your pastor, ask him, why is it that we do not keep the Sabbath day? You ask him to show you directly from scriptures. You don't want any traditions tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Your soul is more important than any tradition of mine. You want your pastor, your minister, to show you directly from the Word of God where we are instructed not to keep the Sabbath day. You ask him to explain to you tonight, whenever you buck him again, ask him to explain to you why we do not keep the Sabbath day holy as the Lord instructed us to do, as the example that Jesus gave throughout his life. It says, as his custom was, he kept the Sabbath day. He worshiped in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and the apostles followed directly in his footsteps. No instruction was ever given by our Lord in the years that he walked on this earth that the Sabbath was done away with. How dare a minister of gospel get up and say that the Sabbath day was done away with? The challenge is out tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Study the words for yourselves and do not follow the traditions of men. That is my encouragement to you tonight.
Well, you know, what I like to say on that is, you know, a few years ago, say about a year and a half ago, there's a particular minister on the talk. I would not call his name, but if you call me at home at 322-6273, I'll tell you who this minister is. There was a minister on the talks when I called him, I asked him a question. I said, you know, minister, I'm a young Christian. I don't want to be deceived. And the question I have for you today, sir, is this. There are two major days of worship, the seventh day and the first day. And I'd like to know, sir, seeing that you were studying the scriptures a little longer than me, what has your research came up with? And he told me, after I hang up and wait for his response, he said, believe it or not, my brother, every Saturday I keep the Shabbat, me and my family. The Shabbat simply means the Sabbath day. He said, on a Sunday, I bring the people together to worship. He said, Sunday is a tradition. We don't need to go there. We all know where it came from. Well, that's not true. We meet people all the time who don't know where it came from, and they are shocked out of their wits when we share them the facts based on the Bible, church history, and world history. And you know, today, this minister is one of the well-loved ministers all around the world. But I have news for you. The Bible is quite clear. No man can serve two masters. And believe it or not, if he should die tonight, I truly believe that he would be lost. God means what he says, ladies and gentlemen. Just like how Adam and Eve had to get forgiveness for Christ when they sinned, just like how Cain is going to wake up to the wrong trumpet because he killed his brother after his fruits was rejected. Just like how Ananias and Sapphira were struck down there because they did not bring the monies that they promised that they would bring. Just like how Judas hung himself after selling Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Well, the same thing applied to all the members of Turning Point. If we should die in our sins, we are going to be lost. The Bible is quite clear that our sins will find us out. It is going to be sin, ladies and gentlemen. Not sins, sin, singular. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin, well, is the transgression of God's law. And the thing about it is, these ministers who teach these lies are well loved. When the members of Turning Point and other ministers who are ordained to preach the truth are very well hated. Why? Because they're telling you the truth. As far as I'm concerned, if some people had the will, they'll kill all of us. But because they're afraid to go to prison, maybe that's why we're still alive today. But as far as God is concerned, you've already killed us. Because the Bible is quite clear. If any man hate his brother or sister without a cause, he of himself become a murderer.
Let me see if I understand you correctly now, Brother Paul. You're trying to tell me that a minister of the gospel in our land, in our pulpits every week, written many and many tons and tons of books that sell, multiplied, I don't know if you could say millions, but sell many, many copies. He keeps the Sabbath day, but he does not instruct his church members to do the same.
Well, when I speak to his members, but his members tell me, well, he told us that. I said, well, and if he told you all that, then why you all are not keeping the Sabbath day? They have no answer. They think because they are following the minister, and the minister they oppose is following Christ, they think it's going to be okay. But not based on God's, it's not going to be okay, ladies and gentlemen. See, it's a sad thing to know that you're doing wrong. I think God's going to say, okay, wrong means right. It's a sad thing when you put evil for good and good for evil. This thing is real, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible is quite clear. The Bible says the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. And there's no great thing that he can make his ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness. Could it be the three members of Turning Point are ministers of the devil? If we are, please, lady, take us off the air. We don't want to be here. We want to be where the truth is. And not only us, I believe all the members of the church that we attend will come and join you. I believe if there's any church that believes in the truth, it's our church. And I assure you, if you can share with us tonight where we are going wrong, I'll speak on behalf of my church. 12,000 of us will join you tonight. We will join you tonight. See, lady, we are about the truth. We realize, as a matter of fact, most of the members from our church came from other churches. And the thing about it is, our church is not a church where tell you, you could do what you want to do, and you're going to go. Our church is a strict church, because God is strict. And these strict principles are to benefit us. Like when Christ says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, Christ is not going to get AIDS. He's not going to be shot in the head by someone's husband because he met you in bed with his wife. So he says, my brothers and sisters, if you want to live long, and if you want to have peace, keep my commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Love your enemies. These are the principles shared down to us, our Heavenly Father. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he'll do anything to save us once we stay out of his way. Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out. And we've been preaching and talking to you for the past 4 years. The time has come for us to study the word. Don't read it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, a workwoman need not be ashamed rightly. Hear the word? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Time is running out. There are ministers running all around with trying to get brownie points. They are petitioning the government against homosexuality. Well, I thought Jesus said it would be. Homosexuality would be in the land before he come. He didn't say it might be. He didn't say if you petition the government, it will change. It will be. The sad reality is, why don't you go and petition those churches that are ordaining ministers as sissies? The government is not ordaining ministers as sissies. I hear people try to say, well, they're in parliament. Well, so what? If you know that there's some in parliament, then go down there and minister to them. Invite them over to your house for dinner.
Amen.
But I hear people get out on, as a matter of fact, I was down to Rawson Square, and I heard a minister of the gospel outrightly accuse one of our ministers of the government of being a homosexual. I'm so surprised that he wasn't locked up that day. He should have been locked up, because there's nothing in the records to show that the minister name that he called is like that. And if he is like that, invite him over to your house for dinner, homeboy.
That's right.
That's what you do.
That's right.
You don't put him out in the open blank like that, invite him to your house for dinner. And who knows, you might be the one to win him over to the truth of Jesus Christ based on the word. And this minister who you name might be the one turning the world upside down, even you. Because you also are breaking the fourth commandment, the minister who said that. So for sure, he's the minister who said it and is a worse position than the minister name that he called. Because the minister name that he's called is not preaching the gospel. But I believe he loves Jesus. Think about it.
We're going to go to the phones. Even though we have some questions that persons call in, we're going to go to the phones and speak to Mr. Davil. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Davil.
Yes, you made a statement in the night on the TV I was watching. And you said that Cain married his sister. How could he marry his sister if Adam and Eve only had three sons?
Well, it's simple as 1, 2, 3. If he didn't marry his sister, then who did he marry?
Well, that's why I want you to point out to me where I could find that in the Bible.
Well, it's not in the Bible. If you want to reject it, then so be it. But I believe that he married his sister. But it don't really have to be. But I know he married someone. Because here we are.
Well, you made a statement. You should know where it is in the Bible.
Mr. Davil, what we have to do is understand the way that the Bible was written and understand the way that historical records were written during the time.
Well, my friend, you start off wrong, because far as I read in the Bible, Adam and Eve only had three sons.
It was not customary during that time to bring out every single member of the family. What was written was the sons. When we read throughout the pages of the, particularly the Old Testament, you always see the sons being highlighted.
Two man can't have children.
That's true. So why don't you tell our listeners, everyone is listening to you tonight, why don't you tell us who you think he married?
Huh?
Why don't you tell us who you think he married?
I couldn't tell you because I don't know.
All right, sir. Okay, good point. Good
but
point.
I want yep. you to tell me where I could find in the Bible that he married his sister.
If you will listen, I said it's not biblical, it's not written in the Word, but I believe that he married Mrs. Cain, which was a sister.
Uh-huh.
Now, if people want to accept it, well, so
you already come different from that.
All right, sir. Point taken. Have a good night.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to call us with your comments or questions, feel free to call us at 325-5403. Or 325-5404 or 325-5405 and for those who are in the Family Islands, you could give us a call at 242-300-8255, and that call is a toll free call. And we want to thank Brother Darvill for that question. Ladies and gentlemen, I need to make this announcement now, so to speak. We got a couple of questions concerning issues that are before the courts. We at Turning Point don't see the necessity of dealing with issues that are before the court. Any order, any situation that's before the court, we believe that the court needs to deal with it first, and then we could comment on it later. Now, if you want to keep your questions general, we will deal with any general questions concerning issues. But any issue that is before the court, Turning Point Ministries will not be dealing with it here tonight on the air. Now we're going to go to Salika. Go ahead, Salika.
Good night again.
Good night.
I'd like for you to explain this verse of scripture for me. It's pertaining to the Sabbath day.
Which verse is that?
It's found in Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians chapter 2.
Verse 14 through 16.
It's 14 through 16.
Yes.
Okay.
You're gonna hold on, or you're going to hang up and wait for your response?
I'm going to hang up and wait for my response.
Okay, and if you don't get the answer, you can feel free to call back, okay?
Okay, I will.
Colossians chapter 2, begin at verse
14 through 16.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
I'll read it in the hearing of our audience.
Oh.
And it says, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, keyword, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
The thing with this text right here is a lot of people like to use this text to try to cast the Sabbath away. But you will notice carefully, it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. If you look at the word ordinances, that word ordinance means ceremony. Well, the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments that was written on table of stone with the finger of God, were not ceremonial. The Ten Commandments were given to point out sin. And that's why the apostle says by the law is the knowledge of sin. The ceremonial laws was given to mankind during the time of the Old Testament to guide, to forgive men when they transgressed the commandments of God. It also taught that it was pointing forward to the time when Christ would come, and it was nailed to the cross. Well, I normally like to put it this way. Have you ever saw anyone nail concrete stone to wood? No. But you can nail paper to wood. And the ordinances were written in a book. They were written in a book by Moses, dictated to him from God, and they were kept on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ten Commandments, which pointed out sin, was kept on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you want to see a replica of this Ark of this Covenant, and we've been said this for two times, there are two churches in Nassau that has a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. That's Mount Tabor and also BFM. They have a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. And this Handwriting of Ordinances book were kept on the outside of that Ark of the Covenant, and the Ten Commandments that point out sin was kept on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you notice in verse 16, it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meats or in drinks, or respect of holy days, new moons or Sabbath days with an S." Now, if you should take it literally, that means as of tonight, you and I could eat human beings, because human beings can be meat, and no government has the right to lock us up. We can also drink whatever we want to drink. And no one has the right to tell us there should be an age limit. Because right here, Paul don't put what age you can drink. He doesn't let no man judge you. So the government don't have a right to put a principle that you must be 18 to drink if you're going based on the scripture and if you're taking it literally. So this is the danger when we take a text out of context. But if we put it in its right perspective, if we put it where it belongs, then we'll fully understand what Paul is saying here. So Paul was telling the brethren in that day is, don't you know this thing was nailed to the cross? And if men want to judge you by saying that it's time for you to come back bringing these principles back, the eating and the drinking, and keeping the holy days and the new moons and the Sabbath days. A new moon simply means months. Every month there was a particular thing they had to do, and you'll read this in Leviticus chapter 23. If you read Leviticus chapter 23 and compare what is written in Colossians chapter 2, you will notice that in Leviticus chapter 23, you will see your meat offerings, your drink offerings, your holy days, your moon, your new moons, and your Sabbath days with an S. But now when you go to Exodus chapter 20, you'll notice the Ten Commandments don't talk about Sabbath days, but a Sabbath day. It's very important. And it's very important for you to note that these were written, but these are handwritten ordinances, but the commandments, like I said, was written on tables of stones by the finger of God. And now today the Bible says they are written on the tables of our heart, according to Jeremiah chapter 33.
And you know, just to add to that, Brother Paul, also in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You know, nowhere in the Bible is the Ten Commandments called or described as ordinances. In matter of fact, if we go back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 29, I believe it is, it speaks of the ordinances, those same commandments, those same laws that governed the Jewish nation, that they were written in a book, kept in the side of the ark, Deuteronomy described them as containing blessings and curses. But nowhere in the Ten Commandments is it described as containing blessings and curses. And nowhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the Ten Commandment law ever described as ordinances. As a matter of fact, quite opposite, the Ten Commandment law is described as the royal law in James chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and ye do well. It's also described as God's holy law, but nowhere in the scripture is it ever described as the law of ordinances. This law of ordinances, what did it do? And I think you alluded to it, Brother Paul, and what did it do? It pointed forward to the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for us. It pointed forward to those things that the Jewish people, or I shouldn't say the Jewish people, because it didn't only apply to them, pardon me, but it applied to anyone that had faith in the Lord God. What did it do? It set forth an example of what they should do as a pattern, pointing forward to the sacrifice that Christ would make on the cross. The slaying of the lamb for forgiveness of sins represented Christ's death on the cross. And you have different ceremonial things that took place contained in the ordinances, so on and so forth, that pointed forward to what Christ would do when he came and when he died on the cross. And remember what Christ did when he died on the cross. The veil of the temple was torn down. All of those ordinances were done away at his death on the cross. But nowhere in the Bible can anyone find where the Ten Commandment law is described as ordinances or being nailed to the cross or done away with. What this was in fact pointing to was to the ceremonial law and not the Ten Commandment law.
If you want to read the scripture where the Bible says that it was written with the finger of God, that's the commandments, that is, you go to Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 10, and it says the Lord delivered unto him two tables of stone written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord has spoken unto you in the mount of the midst of the fire, and the fire that day of the assembly. So that's Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 10, where it says that the commandments written with the finger of God on two tables of stone, and the ceremonial laws in Colossians chapter 2 was written in a book. And I'm going to give you the scripture in a little while to show you that it was written in a book before we get up the air tonight.
And you know, Brother Paul, one more thing quickly, and when we come down, particularly in the end of time, the Bible says that God's law will especially be magnified, particularly in the end of time. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, and it says, speaking of the Ten Commandments law, God's holy law, God's royal law, and it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Praise the Lord for his word.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And let's go to the phone lines again. Brother Rose?
Yes.
Go ahead, please. What's your question or comment? Go ahead.
Yes, the gentleman said that he didn't know that Adam had daughters.
Mr. Rose, don't listen to us. Turn your radio off and listen to me on the phone. Don't listen to the radio. Go ahead.
Yes, we was looking at Genesis 5 and 4.
7 and 17, I think it is.
Go ahead, you make your comment. So you
Genesis 5 and 4.
Go ahead.
Mr. Dowell?
Yeah, just go ahead with your comment, Mr. Rose.
Yes, Adam had daughters. Genesis 5 and 4 for Mr. Dowell. You can read it for him. I hang up.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Rose. Brother Renwick, could you read that for us, please?
Certainly, and it says, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 4, and the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters.
Thank you, Brother Rose.
Thank you very much, Brother Rose.
I'd like to share that scripture now that they show that Moses wrote this stuff in the law that he wrote was in a book. And if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 24, and it came to pass when Moses made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished. So Moses wrote the law that is mentioned in Colossians chapter 2 in a book. And like I said, if you should take a Leviticus 22 is a long chapter, so tonight we will not take the time to go through and read it. But I'll tell people that you get two Bibles and you just put them side by side and you compare the scriptures with each other and see that Leviticus chapter 23 talks about ceremonial laws, talks about meat offerings and drink offerings, and these things were indeed nailed to the cross. Now, there are a group of people in the Bahamas that still observe the ceremonial laws. The only part that I know they don't do outright is they don't do the sacrifice of animals. But they still do the meat offerings and the drink offerings. As a matter of fact, most of them, they'll take their vacation off so they can celebrate those whole week of Sabbaths. When there used to be a whole week of Sabbaths from one Sabbath to the other for a whole week, you would keep the Sabbath whole. And during that time, if you would not follow those principles, you would have committed a sin. But thank God today, God gave us 6 days that we can labor and do all our work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God.
You know, I have a question for our listeners, particularly the young lady that called and asked this question about want to put words in her mouth, but alluding that the Ten Commandment law was actually the ordinances that were nailed on the cross. And you know, many ministers of the gospel stand in the pulpit and have the audacity to teach this doctrine that the Ten Commandments are actually the ordinances that were nailed to the cross. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. And this question, you can ponder to yourself, just you and the Holy Spirit tonight. And if the Ten Commandments are actually nailed to the cross, done away with, finished, then when we go down to the seventh and the eighth commandment, I'm just going to deal with those two. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Well, if we listen to these ministers that say that the Ten Commandments are nailed to the cross and done away with, then we should have no problem with people committing adultery and stealing. The ministers should not get up in the pulpit and say, well, why is there so much crime and adultery in the land? They shouldn't preach against it. How can you preach against something when you are in fact saying that it's done away with, that the law is done away with? So, and two key points in the law say that men should not commit adultery, men should not steal. When I say men, I mean mankind. If that is no longer applicable to human beings today, then no minister of the gospel should have any problem with anyone that steals and commits adultery. Does that make sense, ladies and gentlemen?
As a matter of fact, if we should continue in that same book, Deuteronomy chapter 31, and then you read in verse 26 of Deuteronomy 31, and in 24 it says how Moses wrote the law in a book. And then I told you earlier that this book was placed on the outside of the Ark of the Covenant. Well, verse 26 of Deuteronomy 31 confirms this. He says, take this book of the law and put it on the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be therefore a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. So the Bible is quite clear that, like I told you, the book of the law, the ceremonial law, was kept on the outside of the ark, and a little while I will try to find for you where the Ten Commandments were written, and it was kept on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Brother Ryan, get to you in a minute. I just want to get with the telephone numbers once again. The telephone numbers are 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or for those on the family islands, you can give us a call at 242-300-8255, and that's a toll-free call. We have callers on the line. Callers, just hold on a minute. We're going to let Brother Renner give a comment on the last question, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. Go ahead, Brother Renner.
You know, Brother Julian, I just would like to say that, you know, the study we're giving right now showing that the law, God's law, is not done away with, and that the Sabbath day is the seventh-day Sabbath originally given by God. You know, none of this stuff we can keep in our own strength. We cannot keep or uphold the law in our own strength. It's all done through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the empowering of His Holy Spirit. Through faith, it says that Abraham, what did he do, Brother Paul?
He kept the law.
Amen. Through faith. And it is the same faith that empowered Abraham that will empower us today. The same faith in Jesus Christ, through His strength, will empower us to be obedient to His word. But what did Jesus say while He walked this earth? Did He say that the law was done away with? Did He say that the Sabbath day was nullified? Absolutely not. What did He say? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What does that word mean, to fulfill? Does it mean to do away with? To abolish? That's not what it means. It means to bring it into its fullest meaning, that He lived the law, a life of obedience as an example for us. He showed us how the law should be kept. Not how the strictness of the Jews that made the law burdensome for mankind, where you couldn't walk X amount of feet or you were in violation of the Sabbath day. No, that's not God's intention when He gave us His Ten Commandments law. So God showed us how it should be kept. It should be kept in faith, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and through love for Him and our fellow mankind. And He goes on to say in verse 18, "For verily I say unto thee, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one little tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." All has not been fulfilled. Heaven and earth has not passed away, and not one jot is going to pass from this law until all is be fulfilled. The challenge is still out to the ministers tonight, and we're still waiting for them to come back to us tonight.